Okay, we're up to Perek Chaf Dalet in Sefer Yeshayahu, and this is a very mysterious perek to know exactly what it is talking about. Rashi assumes that this is talking about, what we know is that this perek is about a lot of destruction, a lot of difficulties. Eventually there'll be some light, and eventually there'll be hope and people left over after difficulties. So Rashi says this perek is about the time period of Gog Magog, which Yechezkel talks about, some type of peronus that will happen before Mashiach comes, and it's not specifically about the Jews. It's about the various nations of the world that will suffer from during that time period. Maybe it's happened already. Maybe it's not. Maybe Rahman al-Islam was the Holocaust. We don't know. But that's Gog Magog according to Rashi. The Radak says, no, it was much earlier in history. It was after the time of Yeshayahu. But either way, it's earlier. It's relating to Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael after the Ten Shvatim. Either way, it is mysterious. Rabbi Schwab suggests that it could be one of two points. Number one, it could be Yeshayahu himself got this as a mysterious nevuah. It is so unclear and ambiguous what it means, so we can't try to figure it out more than Yeshayahu HaNavi himself got it as a nevuah that was supposed to remain somewhat ambiguous. Or Yeshayahu knew, but he left it in unclear terms so that it could refer to many different time periods in history. There'll be tragedies, and then there'll be hopes, and then there'll be ups and downs, or maybe it's just talking about the entire history of the world. Says Rabbi Schwab, it's also possible that Yeshayahu was foreseeing here a long process of developments over thousands of years, culminating with Bias HaMashiach. And the world, we'll see in the first pasuk, we're going to talk about countries being emptied out. Throughout history, we see some countries emptied and some countries filled, and then emptied and then filled. It's talking about the cycle of history. During this time, God will bokeh ka'aretz, empty out parts of the earth, which were formerly inhabited by people, and then split it, and then that, right? The God will spread out its inhabitants to regions of the world where very few people have lived before, v'chulu, and it can be referring to, he says, maybe the discovery of America, and during the time when inhabitants were spread out, and it goes through the whole history of the world. It could be referring to that in much very general terms. But it is clear also that this parak, more than any other that we have had so far, is Yeshayahu using his power of language. There are play on words in this parak. There is alliteration in this parak. There's rhymes in this parak. Just reading, even if you don't know what the words mean, some of them, but the usage of the word is clearly Yeshayahu HaNavi using his literary abilities to be able to give off a very powerful nevuah, even if we're not specifically sure what it's referring to. But, as we always do, we focus on the psukim. There are definitely messages that we could always get. So the first pasuk says, Hine Hashem bokeik ha'aretz ubolka. Right, two words that sound similar. What's bokeik? So Rashi, the Radak say, bokeik is from the word to empty out. Bokeik means to empty out, that certain lands will be emptied out, merokain, like a bakbuk is emptied out, a bottle. So a bokeik, Hashem will empty out the land, ubolka, Hashem will split it, the iva paneha, and will distort its face, the hefitz yoshveha, and to spread out its inhabitants. So again, maybe it's referring to Eretz Yisrael according to the Radak. Maybe it's referring to other nations of the world according to Rashi. Either way, he's talking about some type of land that will eventually be emptied out. If it's referring to Am Yisrael, so this is talking about going into Galutz, the Hefitz Yoshveha. There's a beautiful piece in the Maharal. The Maharal in Netzach Yisrael, which talks all about, Netzach Yisrael is all about Netzach Yisrael, that Am Yisrael is always there for eternity and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bond. So in the first parak, he talks about the idea of Klal Yisrael going into Galus and being scattered. He says scattering is not something that is natural. That's not the correct state of affairs. When I have a bottle or anything and I smash it and all the pieces are all over. So the natural state of it is for it to be a kli. When I break it, I have now caused it to be an unnatural state. Well, the pieces are all over the place. They're not unified. Says the Netzach Yisrael, says the Maharal, it's the same thing with Jews going into Galus and being scattered all over the world. That is not our natural state of existence. Our natural state is to be all together with each other in Eretz Yisrael. V'kvochein, ha-pizur eino davar tiv'i, k'mo she-chozer kol davar v'davar makomo. The natural state is for things to be together. Kach chozrim ha-chalakim ha-mefuzarim, v'ha-nifradim li-osam klal echad, v'davar ze mevur l'chol adam asher hu ben das. Anybody who has a little seichel, says the Maharal, knows this. Ki kol chalakim inyana chalahem. Parts of something always come together and have a yearning to be together. V'lochein kol pizur omeid l'his kanes yachad. Everything that is scattered is really destined to come back together. Lefichach pizur Yisrael ben ha'umos hu davar yotze min hateva. The fact that we're scattered, la'ar bakanfos ha'aretz, is not our natural state. And there will come a time, hey, miskab simbiyacha, where we come together, because that's inherent in the Bria, for parts of items to come together. We're all part of an item. We are the ultimate item, says the Maharal. Ume asher ha'uma ha'yisraelis uma achas bilti mechulekes umufredes yoser mikol umos roish yimukubatzin yachad. It's only appropriate that they will be gathered together. And therefore, when this pasuk says "Hefitz Yoshveha," if it's referring to us, to Am Yisrael, we are not in a natural state. The more Jews that come back to Eretz Yisrael, that is getting back to the state that we should be in, the natural state. So, and that's why we say the Heshev Banim Legvul, Vaheshev Levavos Abanim Banim Legvulam, the Shavu Banim Legvulam, all the Pesukim, that's it's really returning, because all of our state is naturally in Eretz Yisrael. Vahaya, and then the Pasuk says that there's going to be equality amongst the nations. Vahaya, Ka'am Ka'kohen, Ke'eved Ka'adonav, servants and masters, kashivcha kegverta, maid servants and masters, kakone kemocher, kemalve kelove. Basically, equality. What's going to be equal? What's this referring to? So again, it's not 100% clear. The Radak says the enemy. Oh, it doesn't matter when there's a natural disaster, when there's something major that happens to the world. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what class you're in. You know, you're all equal in the eyes of the natural hurricane or tornado. It doesn't matter what class we're in. But if you look a little deeper, the Mefarshim explain that when it comes to the nations of the world hating the Jewish people, doesn't matter what kind of Jew we are. All our enemies of the world haven't been mechalik between whether we're observant or whether we're not observant, whether we are Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, whether we're rich, whether we're poor. Hitler, Yichmach Shemo, didn't make any chilukim. And nobody ever makes chilukim. And when the difficulties come on to us, it doesn't matter if we're the lenders or the borrowers or the, it doesn't matter. And many sources, obviously, I'll just read one that I saw recently. They came out recently with a Birchon from Rev Salvechik. So Rev Salvechik says, the hatred, the hostility towards the Jew by Amalek is not directed exclusively against the religious Jew, who is conspicuous in his exoticism, who is different than unique. The hatred embraces religious as well as agnostic Jews, the nationalist as well as the assimilationist Jew, the Jewish home adorned with a mezuzah and the home stripped of everything Jewish. The hatred of Amalek is commodious enough to encompass and embrace every Jew and every Jewish home. At this point, the Jews realized and understood the idea of common destiny only when this happens. That's why they came together in the days of Purim. And Rachman al-Islam throughout history, right? The Goyim don't make any distinctions between us. Halavai, we shouldn't make any distinctions between us. But that's what maybe this pasuk is referring to also. Referring to that at the time, but when we go into, when we're sent into Galus, says Yeshayahu Anavi, we're all the same in the eyes of Nebuchadnezzar. Next pasuk. Hebo tibo ka'aretz. Hebo's tibo's. The land will be emptied out. The land will be plundered. Ki Hashem diber asadavar azeh. Hashem has mentioned this and said this is going to happen. Avla Navla Haaretz. And again, most of this parak is about some type of land which will be destroyed, which will be scattered. We're assuming so far in our pshat that it's talking about Am Yisrael is going to go into Galus. Avla Navla Haaretz Umlala Navla Tevel. The land will be mourning. Umlala Navla Tevel. Tevel is another word for the land. It will be spoiled and everything will be removed. What land is Tevel being referred to? So Rashi says beautifully, Tevel is a language of land specifically for Eretz Yisrael. Why does Tevel? Usually Tevel refers to all the land. No. Shehi metuveles b'mitzvas harbe. When you have tavlin, when you have spices, you sprinkle onto spices into the pot. So Eretz Yisrael is spiced with mitzvos. Right? There are mitzvos everywhere. But there are certain mitzvahs, as we know, only mitzvahs atuliyas ba'aretz, and that's why Eretz Yisrael is referred to Tevel, right? It reminds us a little bit of the Gemara Maseches Sota, where Moshe Rabbeinu is begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go into Eretz Yisrael. And at the end of the first parak, Moshe says, please. And Hashem says, look, why do you want to go in anyway? Bibnei manis ava Moshe Rabbeinu likaris Eretz Yisrael, v'chilechol mipirya hutzarech, v'spoa mituva hutzarech, what to eat from the fruits? Elakach amar Moshe. No, Moshe says, harbe mitzvos nisavu Yisrael, v'imis kai ben elab Eretz Yisrael. There are a lot of mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael. I want to go do them. Hashem said, I'll give you the credit. But either way, what do you see from that? That's why Moshe had the taiva, because he knew this was Tevel. He knew this was mituval b'mitzvos. And as we know, the famous words of the Ramban in Parshas Achrayimos, where the Ramban says, every mitzvah has extra significance in Eretz Yisrael. Not just the mitzvah satulias ba'aretz. Says the Ramban, tefillin and mezuzah. The Vilna Gaon couldn't believe it. He thinks it's a Torah Sofer in the Chazal that Rashi quotes, that the Rabban quotes. It should be Trumas and Maaseres. But it's clear, as far as the Medrash at the end of the second parak of Shema, it's about Tefillin and Mezuzah, and the Rabban says that every single mitzvah in the Torah has a unique status in Eretz Yisrael, and maybe that's a deeper idea of the word Tevel and Rashi, Mituvelis b'mitzvahs harbei. Right, that's Eretz Yisrael is referred to that. It's the land of mitzvahs, the land of Hashem's palace. That's the Ramban's lashon. I'll just read it. Says the Ramban, he quotes the Sifri, and he says, why do we do mitzvahs in Galus? He uses a very extreme lashon. Obviously, there's Chovas HaGuf, and we have to do them. But there's definitely an element, says the Ramban, that's missing in every mitzvah that we do in Chutz La'aretz. Kidei, and why do we have to do it? Kidei shalo yu chadashim aleinu, kishenachzer la'aretz, ki ikar kol ha-mitzvahs li-yoshvim ba'aretz Hashem. And then he quotes the Medrash there. Vizui mitzvahs Yaakov Avinu, and that's why Yaakov Avinu, the Avos, this is the Ramban Shita, the Avos kept kol ha-Torah kula only in Eretz Yisrael. That's why Rachel Imenu had to die on the way back, and Amram married Yocheved in Chutz La'aretz, right? Many of the Averis, quote unquote, that were done, right, has to do with Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. That's what Tevel refers to Eretz Yisrael. Continuing, Ve'ha'aretz chanfa tachas yoshveha. The land became chanfa. What's chanufa? Chanufa usually means to be flattering in an inappropriate way, right? Others translate it as not faithful, like a woman who is a chanufa. So what does that mean here? The land becomes unfaithful? So some connect this to the idea that we know people's actions even influence the whole world around them. There's a metaphysical hashpa'ah, right? The Beis Halevi discusses in Parshas Noach, the Chazal that says that even the animals started intermixing in the times of the Mabel. What does that mean? Right, a donkey had a taiva for a horse, and a giraffe had a taiva for... What does that mean? The answer is it wasn't. It wasn't their instincts. But because the people at that time were so inappropriate and so being with einam minam, so then that affects the world too. It affects the world too. That's what the Beis Halevi expands on that Chazal in Parshas Noach. Dekemosha adam poel ba'atzmo al yidei hergelu b'ma'asav ha-ra'im. Just like our actions affect ourselves. Voseh ba'atzmo teva shniya, and makes it second nature. Leos tivo mishtokek v'nimshach lasos kamasav ha-konmin. What acharei avera gares avera mitzvah gares mitzvah. Whatever we do affects us, what we have a taiva for. So too, the Beis Halevi explains, it affects other people around us, we affect our neighbors, and it even affects the entire world. Uba ha'olam, lios tivam, nimshach laze yosim imasha yakodem, ki chen yasan malkash olam. Hashem did that for us, and that's what, if you look in the Rav Hirsch, on the end of Achremos, where the Pasuk talks about that the land will vomit out Bnei Yisrael if we don't follow the mitzvos, the Rav Hirsch there talks about, but it's really every land, the entire land, the earth can't survive, and that's why Adam is Adama, right? Because there's an affinity, there's a connection between our actions and the world around in which we live. Ukvi rov asiyas, now continuing that Beis Halevi, ukvi rov asiyas ha-adam, ken yishtana tevo shel kulam, im ma'at ve'im harbe. So that's maybe what the pasuk here means. V'ha'aretz, the land will be affected, tachas yoshveha. Why? Because they have violated everything. So here, there are three phrases in the pasuk that all the mafarshim pick up on. The question is, what do those three phrases mean? Ki avru toros, we violated toros. Chalfu chok, we let chukim leave. Heferu bris olam, we have been mefer, we have not been faithful to our covenant. So what are those three? So many suggestions, I'll just read you from the Malbim. The Malbim says, as you would have guessed, he says there are three levels here of rules. Number one, he calls tivis, natural law. What does natural law mean? Basic instincts that people realize. Don't, not killing. And most people not robbing, right? Theft. And basic laws that every person, would inherently know due to being human and how society has to function. What he calls tivis. Then nimusis. Nimusis is what we would call ethical. He says when there are certain wise people in every society that come up with certain ethical laws, which you might not have thought of automatically, but once you hear it, it makes sense and that's needed. That's the second group. And then, of course, the third is elokit, right? Godly, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells. And that, says the Malbim, is what's being referred to here in opposite order. Ki avru toros, Torah shebichsav, Torah shebal peh. We violated the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chol fu chok, even the chukim that were made by the ethical people didn't follow. Heferu bris olam, the bris of the olam, just being part of the world. The most basic activities that people can be involved in, right? They were all violated by, again, whatever society was being referred to here. We don't even have the basic the basic decency of human action. So says the pasuk, Al kein Allah achla aretz. So too, therefore, Allah. Allah might mean the swearing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's now going to eat up and destroy the land, or maybe it means the false oaths that are taken. The Allah achla aretz, vayashamu yoshvei ban, and the inhabitants have been found guilty, Al kein charu yoshvei eretz, v'nishar enosh misar. And that's why there's only going to be a few people left, not so many that would be able to populate the world. Just one ha'ara on if the pasuk is referring to literally shvuos. There's a lot of chumra that we could talk about it by shvuos shav lo sizah shem al kechal shav. So I saw the one of the rebbes, the Agdol Torah, quotes this in Parshas Yisro from the Rav Meir Pamishlaner. Why is it so stringent to make an oath in the name of God lo sizah shem al kechal shav? Because upstairs in Shemayim we do tshuva. What does tshuva mean? We want to erase our avera. You can erase all averas, but you can't erase Shem Hashem. If I say Shem Hashem and it's written upstairs that I said Shem Hashem, how are you supposed to erase that? There's a mechikas Hashem, so to speak. So therefore, lo yinaka Hashem et asher yisrael shmo lashav, sheyef shalomachko v'yishaer roshem hachet. Continuing the description of this mysterious time period in history. Aval, tirosh, umlala gefen, the vines, the wines are going to be forgotten. Ne'enchu kol simche lev, all those who are happy of heart will groan. Shavas mesos tupim, chadal sha'on alizim, the time period where we used to use the tupim and the musical instruments, it'll stop. Shavas, it'll stop. Sha'on alizim, aliza, from the word simcha. Bashir, all of this will happen at time periods, again, when we go into Galus, Bashir, and he's giving Musar, the people either that are hearing this, either is referring to a soon or later, but either way, they hear the message of people not following the Torah and not following human basic requirements and responsibilities are going to end up in this type of destructive state. Bashir lo yishtu yayin. At times of song, lo yishtu yayin. Yemar sheikha l'shosav. The intoxication will be bitter. Nobody's going to want to drink anything. This pasuk is basis for halacha. Bashir lo yishtu yayin. The Rambam quotes based on the Gemara, but the Rambam quotes in Hilchas Ta'anios, all the halachas of Zecher L'Churban. We know there are many halachas that were instituted by Chazal. At the end of Cheskas Habatim in Baba Basra, it's discussed, and Mesechus Sota also. After the Churban, things that we have to do that we're not allowed to do, says the Rambam in Hilchas Ta'anios in the fifth parak. V'chein gazru shalo lenagin b'klei shir. We know the Jewish music industry does not follow the Shitas HaRambam. Right, the Rambam would not say that there could be Jewish music industry today. So we're Mekel, the Ramah, and other Rishonim. But the Rambam says, they were goes there after the Churban. How could you sing? How could you have music after the Churban Abayas? V'chol minei zemer, v'chol mashmiei kol shal shir. Also l'smoach bohem, v'also l'shamah mipnei Churban. V'afilu shira bepeh al hayayin. Even singing a nice song with a cup of wine in your hand. Asura shenemar, bashir lo yishtu yayin. Our pasuk. In Sol Yishtu Yayin, how could you sing? And then the Rambam adds, "Bad v'kvar nagu kol Yisrael lomar divrei tushbachos oshir shel hodos lakel v'chayotze ben al yayin." Okay, the minhag is if you have a cup of wine and it's a divrei mitzvah and you're singing l'shem to be inspired by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, I'll give you that. The question is, how far do you take that? Do you take that only by wine? Do you take that by I'm just listening to a song that I like and it gives me spiritual pleasure? Okay, but either way, that's learned out from this pasuk of Bashir lo yishtu yayin. Continuing the parak, Nishbara Kiryas To, Sugar Kobayz Mibo, all houses, all cities are closed. Tzvach alayayin bachutzos, they're screaming outside. Arva kol simcha gala misos aretz, all simcha has been removed. Nishar ba'ir shama. What's left in the city? Desolation. Ushi'ia yukas shar. What is shi'ia? Rashi quotes, mazikin. Mazikin, demons. When there's desolation, there are demons. Where does this come up? Those who have learned Baba Kama. Remember this. There's the sugya of Zeneh Nevezelo Chaser. What happens if I live in your house? You're not living in your house. I go. You have an extra house. I don't tell you. I go live in it without your permission. A month later, you find out. You're like, wait a minute. Were you going to rent it out? No, you aren't going to rent it out. But I got Hanoah. That's called Zeneh Nevezelo Chaser. Do I have to pay you? So the Gemara has a big discussion about that. But at least one of the svaris the Gemara gives in Baba Kama, Chaf Aleph, is he does not have to pay. Why? Because I did a favor for him by living here. Why? Because if the house is empty, demons come in. And it's dangerous. And if I'm here, they're going to stay away. How do you know demons come to empty houses? Our pasuk. Ushi'ia yukas shar. Right? Shi'ia, in desolation, yukas shar. The shar is by the demons. Right? That's the based on the pasuk right here. Kiko yeh bekarav ha'aretz b'docha amim. And the continues the Yishayahu HaNavi. So it will be in this land during the amongst the nations, kinokev zayis, like after you go collect the olives. There are a few of them left on the tree, on the floor. Kolelasim kalachatzir, right? All of these people are going to lift up their voices in worry. Al kain. But now we get to the end. The light at the end of the tunnel. Pasig Yudalid. Hema Yisu Kolam Yaronu. But they, the people who live after these difficult times, will lift up their voices and sing, Bigaon Hashem Tsahalu Miyam. They will call out in the voice of Hashem and be so happy, Miyam, even more than Shiras Hayam. The song that will be sung, and that's why Rashi assumes this is Gogu Mago when Mashiach comes. The songs that we sing when Mashiach comes will be greater than Az Yashir. Al Kain, therefore, Ba'urim Kabdu Hashem. In Urim, you should honor Hashem. What does Urim mean? Right? That's not 100% clear. That means some type of or. Is that fire? Is that bad fire? Is that good fire? So if it's bad fire, you might say it's referring to various Golios, different fires of Golos. That's why the Rinas Yisluk says, no, Ur is light. Or is Torah. But Urim, because when we go into Golos, there's also a tremendous bittul Torah and a lack of centrality of Torah, and we don't have a Sanhedrin. There's so much loss of Torah when we're in Golos. When we come back, but Urim, with all the lights, right? Or Zu Torah, like Huda Maisa Ora, Or Zu Torah, Kabdu Hashem, we will honor God with all the lights of Torah. Be'iei Hayam, and the islands, B'shem Hashem Elokei Yisrael, we will call out the name of God. Miknaf Haaretz, Zmiro Shamanu, from all the sides, the wings of the land, from all over, Zmiros, we hear songs, Tzvila Tzadik, honor to the Tzadik. Right, all that is great. Yeshayahu Navi says, I see the future. But then he says, but it's such a long process to get there. And I feel bad for the whole, everybody, until we get there. But Omar, Razili, Razili, it hurts me. It pains me. Oily. Bogdim Bagadu, Veged Bogdim Bagadu. There's so many traitors. And throughout history, there's so much pain that we have to go through. And look at all these, word plays. Pachad, Vafachas, Vafach. Alecha Yosheva Aretz. All of these fear and trepidation and difficulties, right? This is all upon you. But again, this is Yeshayahu HaNavi seeing the lengthy galus, right? Oh, but many of the Nevi'im saw, and some of them even tried to shorten it, right? We read and we know in Parsha Shmos, where Moshe Rabbeinu does not want to go back to Mitzrayim. So Moshe says to Hashem, you know what? Shlach Nabi Atishlach. Send with who you'll send with. So Rashi quotes that means Aaron HaKohen. Send with Aaron, I don't want to be the leader. But if you look in Pirkei de Rabbelazar, Pirkei de Rabbelazar says, he's saying, no, send with Eliyahu HaNavi. What does that mean? Why Eliyahu HaNavi? Why is Moshe saying send with Eliyahu HaNavi? Moshe is saying, if I do them, this is a long process. Thousands of years. Just skip to the end. Eliyahu HaNavi, what does it mean? Let it be the last step of Geula. What did they have the whole long process for? That's what Moshe was bargaining. And he didn't want to go so badly because he saw the pain, he saw the suffering of Klal Yisrael. And that's what he says, Hashem says, sorry, that's not the plan. That's not what I have in mind. And that's exactly what Yeshayahu Navi is crying about here. On Pasuk Yudala, Tezvav, Tezayin, he sees the beauty. But he says it's such a long process till we get there. Such a long process, and he doesn't want to wait. Doesn't want to wait so long. But he continues. He talks about the difficulties. If we continue, Pasuk Yutes, Roa his Roa'a, Por his Porera, Motis Motata. Double the shonos of the lands are going to be shaken and difficult and plundered. And eventually, he says, all the people who have done evil will be gathered. And the last Pasuk, even the last Pasuk, is unclear how we should interpret it. But again, there's so many different ways. The Chafra Levano Boshacham. But the last pasuk says, the moon and the sun will be embarrassed. Ki malach Hashem tzvakos b'har tzion u'b'yerushalayim, when Hashem becomes the king in har tzion in Yerushalayim. V'neged zkenav kavod, and there'll be honor finally given to the zakenim. What does that mean? That the sun and the moon will be embarrassed. So the pashas, you might say it means the people who worship the sun and the moon will be embarrassed. It means the people of the Avodah Zarah will be embarrassed then. The people who worship the sun and the moon, right, will be embarrassed. But the deeper idea that's mentioned by a number, but it's based on a Rashi and Psachim. This pasuk is explained, Rashi and Psachim, Daf Chav Ches, that when Mashiach comes, there'll be such light from the Shekhinah. There'll be such light throughout the world, it'll dwarf the sun and the moon's light. And we won't even need that. That's what I mean. It'll be embarrassed. It'll be covered. Because Hashem's light, the aur of the Shekhinah, that will be around, be Yemos HaMashiach and Olam Haba, it will make the sun and the moon superfluous. We won't even need it. And therefore, that's what the pasuk is referring to. Ending off on a high, ending off on an amazing note. Even though we have all these difficulties in history, there'll come a time when there'll be amazing light in the world that we all daven for each and every day.